You're listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode 79, No Texting While Spamming.
So did you hear about T-Mobile and their new
I read the text message you sent me, but that was it.
Oh, man, I was super stoked. So T-Mobile basically came out and they said, we want to stop, and this CEO said, we want to stop the BS. And this is a clean podcast, so we will not be using the actual language he used. As it is one of the seven words you're not allowed to say on TV. Thank you, George Carlin. But basically this guy, they had been talking about the idea they wanted to get rid of contracts. And because they think contracts are the bane of our existence. They think that they're basically lying to us. They're stealing money from us and things become more expensive. So what they want to sell is contractless phones. And obviously, like, people, the reason why the iPhone sells is because you can buy it on contract, unless you're like me, you buy a stupid expensive version of the iPhone. And then really and truly, I mean, it still like helps negate some of the cost, but I could have afforded to buy the low-end model of the iPhone outright for the cost that I bought my subsidized phone. So what they're going to do is they have this interesting strategy where they're going to basically allow you to take out a line of credit on a phone, and they'll embed the monthly payments on the phone into your contract, or not your contract, but your monthly payments. And so you will be taking out a loan. There will be some sort of a long-term thing, and it'll feel like, oh, you're paying it. But once you've paid off the phone, you can pay it off early. You can pay it off month to month. Once you paid it off, that fee goes away. You own the phone wholly. If you want to change services, you can keep your contract with your phone contract with T-Mobile. They'll continue to do that, you know, funding the phone. And but if you want to leave early and you want to get out, you just have to pay the full price of the remaining price of the phone. It's just a loan. It's like taking it out on credit.
Interesting. Do you pay interest on it, or?
You know, I don't actually know, to be totally honest.
So what that enables you, it sounds like it's a more transparent version of a contract phone is what it sounds like. And theoretically, you'll save money on your monthly fees as well?
Yeah. Yeah, you will. Yes, you will. So what's interesting here is that they've got this kind of cool system going on because T-Mobile does like the unlimited everything, talk, text, web. Mm-hmm. And basically what they do is they go, we are going to start, they've actually got LTE towers up in seven cities now. One of them being where I live, which is important to this story because it's why it matters to me. But what's cool is they go, for your basic plan, one line, individual line, it costs $50 a month and that for unlimited talk, text, and web, and 500 megabytes of high speed internet. So your LTE. Yeah. Which you're like, oh, geez, that's terrible. It's $60 per month for 2 gigabytes of high speed internet. And it is only $70 per month for unlimited high speed internet LTE, where you can use your phone as a mobile hotspot, which I sit there and I go, oh my gosh, I want that. When I have to, instead of internet service, because LTE is usually faster than internet service, I can get LTE through my phone, just plug my phone into my computer. Boom. I've got high speed internet, super high speed internet to my phone, to my iPad, to my Kindle Paperwhite. I don't need no other junk. I got my tethering plan going on for $70.
That's pretty nice. For $70, huh?
Yeah, because right now it'd be for me to have unlimited text, and that's as an individual. For me to have unlimited text, phone, and 5 gigs of internet. Period. With tethering on AT&T, it would cost $76 a month, which is, you know, more money with less, and it's not as nice. Mm-hmm. So that kind of upsets me. But if you were to do a family of five, perhaps, and this is, you know, this is important since we have a family of five, and we were to all do unlimited, so we all had unlimited high-speed internet. I realize that that's not as exciting for you, as you do not have LTE where you're at, but it would come out to a whopping $42 a month per person for unlimited everything. What? All you have to do is buy your own phone.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and LTE, if you had it, well, thinking about our situation, is fast enough where you would just, I would just cancel my in-home internet service.
Oh, yeah, without hesitation. It's awesome.
And like you said, you just hotspot the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you could hotspot every phone. See, to me, this is like, this is the future of internet service. I was thinking about the future all week long. I think about the future all week long, every week. What are you guys talking about? Of course. It's like the job here. But I was definitely thinking about the fact that I was having clarity about the future this week, I should say. It occurred to me that this is what I want. I want one device that connects to the cellular network. I want one phone bill that I pay. I want unlimited high-speed internet. And I want to just Wi-Fi to all my other devices. That's all I want. I want it that simple. I want the one device.
That'd be amazing. You know, when I first graduated and moved into my first apartment, that was what I wanted to do. I actually went like a month or so without internet service, which is crazy. And then I found that I was spending like 2 hours after work hanging out at work just so I could be online and made a decision. but my, when I, and I ended up getting an iPhone, as you know, but before that, I was looking at the BlackBerry for that very idea of, I was like, I could buy a smartphone and they had like router docks essentially where you could put your phone you could dock it in the router. It would charge the phone, and then the router would be your hotspot, essentially. You know what I mean?
Nice.
This was only 5 years ago. That's what you can see how much the technology has progressed since.
Right.
And I was looking through it, and I was like, because my thought process was get a smartphone, get the data plan, and then don't get at home internet service.
Right.
And the way I'm trying to remember what my stopping point was. I think it had to do with the fact that it was at the time significantly slower.
Yeah, it was an edge.
And I don't think it was unlimited was part of my problem, or the unlimited amount was a number.
Right. Well, it's like, and that's what I actually had long. I've wanted to go with an LTE hotspot as I'm looking at moving and trying to, you know, find a new so I can get out of this amazing studio that I broadcast from. I've thought a lot about the idea of going with a hotspot instead of like a landline internet, because you can take it with you and you can do all sorts of stuff, and it's got a lot of perks. But the problem is that nobody offers, even T-Mobile, nobody offers an unlimited LTE data on it. I mean, you can get big caps, you can get like 10, 15 gigs of data, but sometimes I download video games. Sometimes I download...
Isn't unlimited?
For their hotspots.
The other problem you're going to run into is, like, let's say you're downloading a movie, you can't go anywhere.
Right.
You know, if you're downloading a game or whatever, you have to be there, because the second you walk away, it stops.
Yeah, but at 15 megabytes per second, 24 at night, which is what the kind of speeds you get, you don't have to sit around very long.
Yeah, and I guess when you start talking about the cost savings, you put up with it, I guess.
Right, exactly. So I don't know. It's an interesting dilemma. I mean, it's something to think about, but I don't know if it's that big of a concern for me. To me, it's just about the amount of data. Which is why the service providers want you to do it. I actually am kind of worried about that. I think I might go over this month, which is a good thing that today is the end of the month. But it's like 3 gigs is
clearly
not enough for me.
Our cycle is on the 24th.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. Well, no wonder I didn't go over.
I think I got an email that you were
getting. Yeah, I was chugging. I was like on my way.
I got an email that says like you were close, and I looked at the date and went, eh, and I just deleted it. Normally I'd forward it on if it was.
Yeah, they texted me. I appreciate it. Thanks, AT&T.
So yeah, no, that's interesting. Oh, that's fascinating. Like I said, I looked into it and I really like that idea. And I've even looked into the contract free, the pay as you go options, which for Android is awesome because they make it super easy to do. Surprise, surprise, Apple makes it significantly hard to do. They sell unlocked phones, but in order to use some of these, what are they? There's a special name for these carriers, because they're kind of like their shell companies, really.
Yeah.
And they're just like brokers. But you need to change some number on the phone. And in the latest iOS update, Apple made it so that you can't change that number.
So you have to jailbreak it, of course.
Pretty much. Which I'm like, you could do, I guess. But come on, Apple.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've become insanely profitable by playing nice with the subsidizing the carriers that subsidize them because that plays to their advantage, you know.
I wonder if so. My contract is going to be up this summer or October, I guess. I wonder if I could just jump over to T-Mobile and be like, "Yeah, sure, no problem." You know, because. You know, technically my contract will be over and I'll revert to month to month.
That'll probably make things more expensive for me, right?
Yeah, because my HP discount.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not planning on buying a phone this cycle. Because the current one I have is awesome. It works great.
Yeah. Your short little squatty, fat, heavy phone.
Yeah, that one. I'm very happy with it, and we've got other stuff going on this year.
Honestly, who knows where I'll be to a year and a half from now. I might be jonesing for a new piece of technology, but it's hard for me to believe that this thing will feel that old in 2 years. I mean, it's Apple. It's an amazing piece of hardware. But that's what they do. That's kind of their thing.
I thought I'd be jealous of the 5, and I'm not. Don't get me wrong, right? If you gave me two options, of course I would choose that one.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, oh man, I really wish I could get rid of this phone.
I'm shocked when people upgrade from the 4S to the 5. Like honestly, like I really like the 5, but I just sit there and I go, it's you really? You're spending that much money on a, you know, if you were already on the upgrade cycle and whatever and you wanted a new phone, then okay. And or if you want like a 3S, which some of our aunts were and they got the upgrade into a 5, that makes more sense. But even a 4 is still a good enough phone. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting, you know.
Yeah, I am very interested in this space. I did a lot of research when our sister was looking for a phone because I was actually going to suggest that she not stay with us and and try this other pay-as-you-go plan. And that was when I found out about the whole like changing whatever that number was that Apple messed with it and you couldn't do it anymore. Because I was super interested in it myself. The other problem that I found is that I'm just a heavy user in general. Because I use my phone for work-related activities.
Yeah.
I use a ridiculous number of minutes. And, I literally, like, the pay-as-you-go plans work really, really well if you're not a heavy user. And you actually genuinely save money because you're not paying for what you don't use. Whereas I'm pretty sure AT&T loses money on me.
Yeah.
Because I do that whole A-list thing, and I literally I'm trying to right now on a normal day, I'm doing a couple hours per day worth of talk time, you know, right. 120 minutes here, 120 minutes there. And it doesn't count against anything, which is cool. But, you know, and the data, I don't know. I am a heavy user, and so I often find that these big plans actually work better for me. But the T-Mobile one's interesting because they are skewed towards the big plans. But
yeah, we'll see.
I would love to get rid of my home internet. That would be awesome. Obviously, I don't have an LTE device, so I'd have to wait, I think, for that to happen, because otherwise, we would be able to do these.
I see. Well, also, you'd have to wait for an LTE antenna in your area.
Yeah, that's true. Well, there is one in Corvallis.
But they need a repeater to get down to you. Do they not? Do they have one?
I don't know. I don't know.
No, I'll bet you don't have LTE coverage.
Probably not.
You're not as cool as me.
Probably not.
I've got LTE cover. You know what's crazy? They only have like two antennas. AT&T has like two or three antennas that cover the entire Bay Area. They got a bunch of repeaters. And when they first launched the network, they only had one LTE antenna in San Francisco that covered the entire Bay Area with a bunch of repeaters. It's crazy.
That works really well. Super effective.
Well, I mean, that's the beauty of cell phones, though, right? It's you sling, you know, you have packages that go from one tower to one tower. You don't actually need all the bandwidth in every tower. There are particular nodes that actually carry most of the bandwidth, and they push it back underground into a fiber optic network, but that carry the whole thing. But it's amazing to me how few you actually need in order to cover a whole area with really fast speeds. But and the weird part was I get better coverage in San Jose than I do in San Francisco.
That is weird.
That's the best part. And for those of you who wonder why, it's because the repeaters use a different parts of the spectrum than what you're actually talking to your phones for. So they get priority bandwidth from tower to tower. So there are fewer people around my repeater than there are in San Francisco, so I get better coverage. Yes. So next week we will be talking about Facebook's new phone, presumably. Did you hear about this?
I did.
Okay, this is kind of exciting.
Making a, let me see, it's going to be an Android-based phone that essentially has either a Facebook skin or it has deep Facebook integration, whatever that means. And the real question is, what kind of app store are they going to use? Is it going to be their own? Are they going to use Android's app store, which, you know, has huge implications in terms of Google's happiness? let's see, am I missing anything? HTC is making it for them.
Boom.
And that's all we know. Or do we know more?
So that's all we know so far. Well, and we'll find out on the 4th.
On the 4th!
So Thursday. Not Wednesday, right? Yeah, Thursday. So, the event is called Welcome to Our New Home on Android. So one of the thoughts is that people think they're going to launch some sort of like a home screen app.
For not making a phone, huh?
I know. Well,
liars. I don't trust them ever.
So, I know, you shouldn't. Yeah, it's classic Apple. Why would we build it? You know, classic Steve Jobs. We would never get into the book business. People don't read books anymore. A year later, we're coming out with iBooks.
Because people love their books, and they read all the time. Or they don't read all the time, and now they will.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to bring the book back to people.
Facebook. Social is important. Mobile is important. But everyone does it wrong. I mean, who cares about the fact that we're the one building the apps? Everyone's doing it wrong.
Yeah, we're the best in this space. So this will be kind of interesting. I don't know what to expect from this. I really don't. Because there's a possibility that they're going to...
This sounds like the equivalent of like a social browser that someone puts together where you're just like, yep, it sounds interesting. Nope. Not going to be taken up by anybody.
Well, what it could be, so there's like two things here, right, that it could be. One, because the rumor, it's all rumor mill stuff that it's HTC doing this. I guess I don't actually have any idea how good these, how valid these rumors are. That HTC is building a phone. There's a lot of people that says they're too young of a company, which is, they're almost a decade old. I know, like, what? That doesn't even make sense. Yeah. I couldn't even believe I read that. I know. It's crazy. But, okay. But I don't think there's any reason for them to not build a phone. But it's possible that what they're going to build is they're going to build a new, you know, Android build that really will be a deep integration with Android. And it's, you'll download this app. Facebook will build an app for Android. And so where it'll be, it won't just be a Facebook app on Android. It will be, we're taking over your Android. We're putting Facebook in everything and we're building a better system. So you download it and boom, you get it. Or they build their own build of Android, or just their own build of the operating system. They try to get people to adopt it. Like there's a couple of different ways that they can go about this. And I actually think that's the most likely, is that they're going to come out with a tier of different stuff where they basically are going to build, a modified Android. You can download an app that will kind of, you know, to your phone that will make it look more like this. You can download our fully integrated OS operating system, Android version of Android that's going to be, you know, super cool. Or you can just buy our phone that's tightly integrated with the hardware designed to do the specific things we want it to. And I think they're going to come up with a couple of tiers of different stuff. But kind of excited to see what they do. I mean, I like Facebook well enough. I still think that, you know, it's an interesting question of, like you said, you know, what apps are you going to use? Can I, you know, how's Gmail going to sort into all this? The reason why one of the big selling points for Android for me is the fact that, like, you log in once and all my contacts, all my email, all my calendars, obviously I'm a Google user in these cases, all my documents, all my maps, everything is just boom, it's all there. It all works together. No problem. And like Facebook, I log in and it's like, oh, that's cool. And, you know, it's a similar thing, but it's like, you know, I don't know. The big question will be who they're marketing this towards. Who do they want to buy it? One of the interesting questions that have come up about this is that it's like, you know, there's been a lot of talk about this open versus closed architectures, which one's better.
Right.
And usually Google's not really very open at all. I mean, they claim that they're open, but, in large degree with the big companies, they're not. They're much more open than Apple, but you don't, you know, especially when you get into like different ways that other companies like Samsung and HTC lock down the phones once they get Android. But this one article I read, which I thought was pretty fascinating, and they basically argued that, like, there's been no killer app that really, you know, gave you a reason to go with the open architecture. At this point, Google and Apple have been Apple and Samsung have been competing for features, but you've never had something where, like, Facebook just kind of steps out and has a full year on Android of saying this is a way better way to do Facebook, where people will actually sit there and go, I want that app. I can't get it on Apple because Apple hasn't integrated it yet into their operating system, that deep integration stuff. And this article is basically saying, you know, maybe this is it. And I don't know. I don't think it's it, but I think it kind of pushes that way further. You know, there are times, I'll be honest, when I look at my iPhone, I think, man, it'd be really cool if I could change this up. And you can't, it's kind of annoying. You know, the perks still outweigh the drawbacks. They still do stuff better than everybody else, but man, it'd be nice to be able to, you know, change up how my home screen works or change up how my notification center works. But it changes the nature of the system. So I don't know. And obviously, like, anything that Facebook does would only have a year long head start. If it was cool enough, Apple would just, you know, make a deal with them and they would, you know, tie it all together, you know, with the next operating system. But I don't know.
And it's entirely, we'll find out on the 4th.
Right. And it's entirely possible that whatever Facebook's doing and whatever they're going to launch on the 4th, they've already been talking to Apple and Apple's already integrated it all. So come, you know, and they've timed it so that they basically said, we're going to launch in the beginning of April. We'll have April, May, and June to kind of get our, you know, we'll have an entire quarter to kind of get our feet underneath them. And then in July, you announce all the same functionality for the iPhone. Deal? And Apple said deal. Like, it's entirely possible that that's going on behind the scenes. And, you know, all this head start that they get is just to give them kind of a quarter to, you know, settle it. Because as far as Facebook's concerned, you know, they still make all of their money off of knowing everything about you and selling advertising. That's their biggest, you know, stream of income. It's the reason why your Google search bar, they have to pay Apple $1 billion a year to have Google search be the default search engine on your iPhone. Because that's where they make all their money. it's worth it. I look forward to it. Well, obviously we'll have a better clarity on all this come next week.